Welcome. Thanks for checking out Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. I'm Michael Costello, the lead pastor here, and I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you find this message encouraging and challenging. If you haven't already, check out our website, gcnaz.church, and get all the information about us. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome in. It is our last week of our series, Joy of Every Longing Heart. Thank you for being with us. I hope you've gotten something out of this series as we've gone through it. And we are a week away from Christmas. Can you believe that? Isn't it crazy? This is my favorite season. I love Christmas. And I just am so appreciative of this church and being a pastor. And so thank you again for tuning in. Just a couple of quick announcements. This coming Wednesday, we have our soup potluck dinner. We're going to have a great time on the 20th, our last time together before Christmas to celebrate. And so plan on joining us. And that'll be December 20th right here in the sanctuary. We'll have a great time. Also, Christmas Eve service is coming next Sunday. Again, we've been reminding you, just want to make sure we're on the same page. Just one service only on Christmas Eve at 10:45 in the morning. We'll black out all the windows. There will be a candlelight service in here. And once we get done with service, you can get about having time with your families and enjoying the Christmas festivities and celebrating the birth of Christ. If you have any questions, certainly call the office. We would be happy to answer any questions you have about this weekend. But invite your friends, your family next weekend. It's going to be a great time to celebrate the birth of Jesus together. All right. Like I said, we're in the final week of our Advent series, Joy of Every Longing Heart. We have been reflecting on a theme that, on themes that have been about the Advent season, and we've gone through different Psalms, and we're going to do that again today. But today's theme resonates profoundly in our world and in the hearts of many, especially considering what is happening in our world right now. And that is peace. Last week we talked about joy. This week we're going to talk about peace. We're going to anchor our reflections in Psalm 89, if you'd like to open your Bibles or your Bible app. We're going to explore the depth of peace promised by God. It's affirmed through the covenant with David. And it was fulfilled in the anticipated Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Now, before we get into the scripture this morning, there is an idea in our world. If you watch like a beauty pageant, what's one thing you would wish for the world? World peace, right? I can't remember the name of the actual athlete, but I remembered he changed his name. Ron Artest, was that his name? Okay, Ron Artest, he changed his name to Meta World Peace, whatever that means. And, we have this, fantasy version of peace where everything is good, everything goes well, there's no war, there's no chaos, there's no evil. We've been talking about Advent in the sense that we are in a second Advent, right? And that Jesus is going to return. Until that time, there is no such thing as this utopian view of peace. That doesn't exist. It's not going to exist until Jesus comes back and creates the new heaven and the new earth. But peace is a real thing. And I hope this morning I can give you a scriptural understanding of peace. A peace that really only comes because of Christmas, because of Jesus' coming, his incarnation in the flesh. Let's dive into our psalm this morning. Psalm 89, verses 1 through 4 to get us started. I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Your unfailing love will last forever. Your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens. The Lord said, I have made a covenant with David, my chosen servant. I have sworn this oath to him. I will establish your descendants as kings forever. They will sit on your throne from now until eternity. Pastor, in all four of those verses you read, it didn't use the word peace. I know. We'll get there. The psalmist here unequivocally proclaims God's steadfast love and faithfulness. This is the foundation. This is the center of how we understand peace. Peace evolves, comes out of, originates from love, God's steadfast love, and his faithfulness. True peace does not exist separate from God's steadfast love and faithfulness. This love that we're talking about is demonstrated through covenants and actions. And again, that lays the foundation for true peace. Biblical peace. Not this fanciful utopian view that we sometimes have in society about peace. Pastor, are you advocating for chaos and war and violence and evil? Of course not. Of course not. I wish all those things didn't exist, and I know God does too. God doesn't want evil, doesn't want war, doesn't want chaos or murder or rape or any of these sorts of things. God doesn't want any of that stuff. God wants peace. But here's the thing. Sin corrupts us, church. Sin breaks us as human beings. It has broken us. It's broken our world. All of these things exist because of sin. And sin is not going anywhere in our world. The brokenness is not going anywhere until Jesus returns. And this is why the second advent, this waiting time that we're in, is so difficult for us. We want Jesus to return and to fix everything because we look at the world and we say it is broken. We can clearly see the world is broken. God, fix it. Does it make sense? How can you sit and watch this, God? He is coming back. Now, the covenant that God made with David in this psalm here is eternal and unbreakable. But it points to a peace that transcends time in circumstance. You know, just as we talked about joy and how joy is something that is not circumstantial, it's not something that comes and goes, it's something that is long-lasting and stays forever. The same is true of peace. True peace is above time. It's above our circumstances, our seasons of life. That's why God's faithfulness and his love is central to having peace. Look what the psalmist says in verse 19 and 20. Long ago, you spoke in a vision to your faithful people. You said, I have raised up a warrior. I have selected him from the common people to be king. I have found my servant David. I have anointed him with my holy oil. David was chosen and exalted by God. And this illustrates the divine model of leadership that brings peace and justice. Jesus is that model. David was the model. Jesus is now the model. David was a broken human being, made very bad choices in his life. Jesus did not. Jesus was perfect, sinless, holy, divine. But he was also fully a man, fully human. And so in that, for us, as Christ followers, we can look to Jesus and say, he is the emblem of what we are trying to aspire to be. In this world, in this broken world, we will never actually make it there, that's for sure. But we should be striving for that goal of being like Jesus. Holy, righteous, perfect. in our leaders and ourselves? How can we embody the virtues of the leadership God honors to be peacemakers in our context? This doesn't mean that you should necessarily be out there protesting with signs and screaming and letting spit fly from your mouth, or getting on Facebook and being a Facebook warrior of, you know, this, that, and the other. That's not being a peacemaker, church. Is there a time and place for some of that? Maybe. But here's the thing. We as Christians are not supposed to divide people, create factions. We are here to be peacemakers. Jesus said himself, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Jesus was a peacemaker. Did Jesus ruffle feathers? Yes, he did. Did Jesus upset people? Yeah, absolutely he did. Did Jesus do things that seem kind of crazy, like go into the temple and turn over tables and throw money changers out of the temple? Yes, he did. Well, Pastor, how could he be a peacemaker if that's the case? Go back to the foundation. He brought a love that is unlike any other. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. And he demonstrated it through God's covenant to us and through his actions. Look at verses 24 through 26. My faithfulness and unfailing love will be with him, and by my authority he will grow in power. I will extend his rule over the sea, his dominion over the rivers. And he will call out to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." God makes a covenant with David. And it's the same covenant he makes with us through Jesus Christ. I am going to increase your territory if you're faithful to me. Jesus, paraphrasing here, says that if I can trust you with a little bit, I can trust you with a lot. I can trust you with more. This same principle works in our relationship with our kids, doesn't it, parents? I mean, think about it. If your kid is trustworthy in doing something very small, then you're going to trust them with a bigger responsibility the next time, because you know you can trust them with the small things, right? The same is true in our relationship with God. If we want peace, we need to have a relationship with Jesus. If we want more peace, we need to have a deeper relationship with Jesus. Our peace, the sense of peace that we get, grows as our relationship with Jesus grows. You can't expect, that if you start your relationship with Jesus today, that you're going to have the most peace that you've ever had and will ever have in your life today. And that as the days go forward, you'll have the exact same amount of peace for the rest of your life. That's not how it works. Peace comes through experience with a relationship with Jesus. Your relationship will deepen with Jesus, which means you're going to experience more peace, more closeness to him, more trust in him. You're going to see his faithfulness play out over and over and over again. The covenant that he makes with David assures that God's faithfulness and love will abide with the king. This relationship of father and son denotes a peace anchored in identity and divine approval. What does that mean? For each of us, our world is really concerned about identity these days, isn't it? You can't get away from it on TV, movies, music. Identity is a big deal to us these days. How we dress, what we call ourselves, the friends we hang out with, the jobs that we have, all of it plays into our identity. But here's the thing. Our identity doesn't matter with those things. It doesn't connect with any of those things. I'm a dad. I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm a son. There are a lot of things that you could call me. But none of it compares with the one identifier that supersedes all of them. I'm a child of the King. And I can only be a child of the King because of Christ's coming. The only reason I have peace is because I'm a child of the King. Do you see the correlation here? This peace is rooted in the love and faithfulness of God. The King, David, and us find a peace that isn't swayed by earthly turmoil. Again, we look at our world and we see the chaos in Israel. We see the threat that China as a government is posing to ours. And that scares us. We see the fight in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia. Whether you're on the right or the left in this country, you think of the other side as an enemy. There's turmoil, right? That's not peace. That's not the peace that God gives us. Those things all matter. They're all important. But that's not peace. And peace is not achieved through human means. Humans cannot give true peace. Only God gives true peace. Here's how I know that. Read with me what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. Listen to this, church. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and say it with me, Prince of Peace. Jesus, the descendant of David, comes not only as the fulfillment of the covenant, but he is the embodiment of divine peace on earth. Tommy, can you bring that scripture back up for me in just a moment? The government rests on Jesus' shoulders. All of the turmoil we see in our world today, Jesus has got it. I know it seems chaotic to us. I know you see evil, and I do too. But I trust God. I trust the Prince of Peace with it. I trust Mighty God, Jesus. In Christ, we encounter peace. Not as a fleeting emotion. This is just like what we're talking about with joy. It's not a fleeting emotion, but it is a person who navigates us through every storm of life. It's a person. It's Jesus. He is peace. We are able to navigate the storms of this life because of Him. No person is going to help you navigate through those storms alone. It's Jesus. You need Him in your life, church. We're a week away from Christmas. And if you've gone through this entire season and you've missed the fact that Jesus is the reason for the season, I know it's cliche, but it's still true. Jesus is the reason we do this. That we have the pretty decorations on tables and the Christmas trees. All of that is because of Jesus. All of that is useless if Jesus is not a part of it. And if you're experiencing a life right now, a season where you don't feel peace, lean into Christ. He is the source of peace. In a world where peace often feels elusive, Advent, this season of Advent, reminds us that peace came down to us. Born in a manger, lived among us, died, and rose again. This peace that is found in Christ alone, is not subject to the vicissitudes of life. Man, I like that word. Vicissitudes. Say it another way. It's constant, reassuring, and it's available for every longing heart. I know some of you who are watching this online, you need peace in your life. That peace is available. Just reach out for it. As we round off our Advent journey, may the peace of Christ permeate our hearts, permeate your hearts. Guide your actions and extend through us to a world that is in desperate need of that peace. I've been saying this every week of this series. Advent, the Christmas season, is a great opportunity to be Christ to this world, because it's a great time for them to be receptive to it. They're more likely to be receptive to the good news, the gospel, at Christmas. Because this season, for many, is a season of joy, a season of hope. I don't know about you, the one thing I do miss about snow, I don't like snow, I don't want to live near snow, but the one thing I do miss is that when you're sitting in like a living room with a big picture window, I've had the opportunity to do this a few times, and you get a snow that's got really big snowflakes, there's a peace that you feel in that moment that's hard to describe, but it's certainly felt. And that pales in comparison to the joy and the peace that Christ gives us, that Christ offers. May your souls, your spirit, rest in the assurance of his unending love. May your life become a melody that sings of his faithfulness from generation to generation. And may you proclaim the peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that you can't quantify, but you can say its quality is unmatched. Let us pray. Father God, I love this season. I love the reminder that Advent gives us each and every year, that you are faithful, steadfast, trustworthy, and true. Father, you never let us down. And when we look at our world, there is something that the world needs, and that's your peace. A peace that calms hearts, calms minds, and a peace that leads us to understanding who you are. Father, let each and every one who is watching this or listening to this, let them encounter you in a new way. Let them hear your voice and respond. Father, you promise that where you began a good work, you will bring it to completion. Father, I pray that this last week, as we lead to the Christmas Sunday, Christmas Day, Father, that you would use us in a powerful way to reach people for your kingdom, that you will create opportunities this week, that we would pray the dangerous prayer of asking you to give us an opportunity to be bold for your faith, for you, for our faith, to share the good news, the gospel, Father, we pray for next Sunday, as it is very likely we will have visitors in this room. Father, we pray that they would hear the truth, that you are their Lord and Savior. And that, Father, your kingdom over these next few days would expand exponentially because of your people sharing your story. Boldly proclaiming that you are the King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. Well, you guys, if we don't see you next week, have a great Christmas. You are more than welcome to tune in next week. We will have our Christmas Eve sermon online as well. And we look forward to seeing you. But hopefully you can make it here on Christmas Eve in the morning and be a part of the service. You're not going to want to miss it. It is going to be a great time. If you are out of town, as your pastor, I tell you, find a church, go to church on Christmas Eve. Don't miss the opportunity to be in church and to worship, no matter where you find yourself next week. But if we don't see you, we'll see you on the 31st. Have a great Christmas, and we'll see you when you get back.